That song from Sinead O'Connor, but written originally and composed by Prince.
That's right. Is this her on it too?
Is she part of the arrangement?
Rosie Gaines. All right.
Wow.
All right. Prince, dead at the age of 57. Before we get to the top five at five,
we have an important announcement.
We do have an important announcement. We had a technical glitch here on the radio program a few minutes ago, and some words said
that we probably are not proud of.
Exactly, some words were said, and we'd like to apologize to our audience on behalf of everybody here at WGN that happened. That was a cascade of errors, as they like to say.
And it wasn't me.
Yeah. So, and it was.
I'm just going to say that because everybody's emailing me saying, "Oh my gosh,
did you say a bad thing?"
I was in the bathroom at the time.
There was a microphone that was left on, and there was some loud reaction, and that was a problem. So,
in the heat of the moment,
right.
And won't be said again.
Right. Exactly. And the NHL has called, and they're asking for a suspension of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, it was not a. It was taking the Lord's name in a way that probably should not have been taken, and that's the way it's just going to be.
True.
Left. And we here at the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis apologize for that.
We do.
All right. Let us continue here because you know this is the most important part of the day, and it's going to be. I'm going to try and get through this without getting emotional. That's what I'm going to try to do. Let's see if I can pull that off.
It's hard, I think.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Wait. Hold on. Here we go.
The top five at five on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40% to 60% off.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Checking in at
number five.
In an interview with CNN, Kerry Gordy, the son of Berry Gordy, talked about the friendship that he had with musical icon Prince. Now, Kerry Gordy, it turns out, was the executive vice president of Prince's studio of Paisley Park. And it's a fascinating thing, actually,
fascinating
when you think
thing.
About it, how sort of small the music industry is in a lot of respects. This is a great story about how Prince was very particular about the things he would do.
As a businessman, it was really funny. My daughter, Juliet, had a friend who was having a bat mitzvah, and the parents were very rich, and they said, Kerry, we will give you $10 million if Prince would just play at our bar mitzvah. And I was like, no problem. So I called him and I said, hey man, I got $10 million for you if you'll just play at this bar mitzvah for 30 minutes. He said, no, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do this? $10 million. He said, yeah, but it's not cool. So he didn't do things for money. He did things because they were right. They felt right in his spirit. He felt cool about it. And everything he did had to be cool.
How about that?
What a story.
Half an hour of work turns down.
No, I'm not going to do that.
$10 million because it wasn't cool.
Just shows you. I mean, the decisions he made truly always seemed about the art.
Yeah.
Remember when he started being known as the artist formerly known as Prince?
Yes.
And then self-published.
Because Warner Brothers they said they owned his name. So, all right.
I got a symbol now.
I don't have a name.
Try to figure that out.
Yeah. And also try to figure out how to buy my stuff. That was a little bit of a problem.
That was a problem.
When that happened.
But you figured it out because it was Prince.
Right.
You wanted to get his music.
Number four.
Richard Marx, Grammy winner, was on with us earlier, remembering Prince. And even though... He thought Prince might not have liked him early on because they shared a studio in L.A. when they were both Prince had already been a big star for a decade almost by the time that Richard started to hit. But they were around each other. There was one performance, though, that then they became friends. They got to, and they ran into each other and they were mutual friends and all that. And that ended very nicely. But Richard Marx remembers this one performance, as so many other people have mentioned today on all the media surrounding Prince. There, on this show, we had the guy who was the head of the curator for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame mention this. Richard Marx mentioned this.
And at the end of the song, Prince, unannounced, walks out and does what I think is maybe the greatest guitar solo I've ever heard and seen. It wasn't just his choice of, his playing, his choice of notes was stunning. But it was, of course, it was his performance. Everybody needs to see this. And he never sang a note. He just played guitar.
Now, he's talking about George Harrison's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame mm-hmm. as a solo artist. And he was inducted posthumously. And Prince comes out. There's Jeff Lynne, a bunch of other people came out on stage, and they played When My Guitar Gently Weeps.
He had such an impact on so many other artists, too, whether they just were impacted by being exposed to his music or whether he wrote for them and composed for them. It's amazing to see the outpouring of people in the industry now coming out to say, look at what he did for me and look at how he inspired me.
Yeah,
I think that says something.
Carlos Santana was his inspiration, he said in numerous interviews.
His personal inspiration.
Yeah, his artistic inspiration, because when he was a kid growing up, Prince was... he's 57 years old, so his musical taste started in the late 60s into the early 70s. That's when you start to become musically aware, and he was obviously musically very talented. His father was a musician as well. He had there was music in his family, and mm-hmm. and Santana was, he had all the Santana records, he said. So it's pretty fascinating, pretty amazing. And that
it is.
By the way, and then that just when you hear it, a lot of people don't think of Prince as, a badass rock and roll guitarist. They should, but they don't because they see him spinning around and they think his music is a little bit more poppy or R&B or whatever it is. But that's the beauty of Prince. That was what changed music, why he changed music, because he was one of those great integrating artists that cut across. And if you were a fan of funk or R&B or rock or metal or of country even, mm-hmm. There was something mm-hmm. you could find in him that worked for you.
Undoubtedly. And we played a Sinead O'Connor song earlier that he wrote, Nothing Compares to You. And, she talks about him today. Beyonce is speaking out. You've got Janelle Monáe, The Weeknd, Usher. So many people saying, hey, that's the guy that inspired me in my music or a song or something that really brought my career to the next level.
We'll get to 3, 2, and 1, but first...
Last week, it was a storybook ending for Addison Russell and the Cubs versus the Reds. Friday, the Cubs look for a repeat performance. Cubs, Reds, Friday night at 6, WGN-TV.
Chains down to grip with the touch of his hand. May the blind see and the dumb understand. Died for the Jesus.
Prince's single for USA for Africa. All right, we continue with the top five at five. Remembering Prince, if you're just joining us or you haven't heard the news yet today, Prince Rogers Nelson found dead in his studio in Minnesota earlier today, 9 o'clock Chicago time, 9:30 Chicago time, actually. And he was 57 years old, changed the world of music, changed the world of world, I would argue. And the top five at five today is completely dedicated to him.
Number three.
Back in 1999, Prince did an interview with Larry King. Right around the time that he was in a heated battle with Warner Brothers Records, right? Remember this? Warner Music? This was a bad deal.
He wrote Slave on the side of his cheek, remember, and walked around to kind of symbolize that artists shouldn't be treated like this.
And remember, he changed his name.
Mm-hmm.
Changed his
symbol,
name.
A symbol, and then no one really knew what to do.
Confused Larry King, I'll tell you that.
What's the story of that, by the way?
I had searched deep within my heart and spirit, and I wanted to make a change and move to a new plateau in my life. And one of the ways in which I did that was to change my name. It sort of divorced me from the past and all the hang-ups that go along with it.
So how did the artist formerly known as come about?
Well, that came up through people's problem with, mainly the media's problem with not having a pronunciation for the symbol.
It was a problem.
Well, that would do it.
Well, it made Prince sense, and eventually it made sense to all of us. You know, somehow you just sort of embraced it. It was like, all right, this is what he's doing now. Okay.
That is true. It did make Prince sense.
He had a very ingenious mind.
Yeah. I mean, I get what he was doing. And again, you know, one of my favorite things is when guys who are masters at manipulating their own image in the media, you know, blame the media for the problem. They like to stand in the light and then blame the light for being hot, right? but you know, he was great at that. And I understood what he was doing. I mean, at the time when he was leaving Warner Music, there was a lot about the contracts that didn't make a ton of sense. And he wanted to change it. And he changed it, actually, moving forward for a very short period of time for artists that were coming in. But then the whole world changed. And people started stealing music. I mean, there was just no two ways around it. And it was right about that time. And what was fascinating is he went back to the label after when they needed to find
back to Warner Brothers
artists. Yes, he went back to Warner Brothers after they needed to find artists that were going to be mega sellers because they were having trouble with, you know, you couldn't just build a band anymore and then hope that they were going to sell, you know, 100,000 units and turn that into 500,000 units and 1 million units and all that. They needed guys that on their first, you know, the day it dropped, were going to sell 3 million units. And that was so they went bad. So they worked out a deal. And now, I mean, you know, you can get almost everything, you know, for free if you want it, which I think kind of sucks. All right. Checking in. This is hard for me. I'm going to tell you this now.
It does get sad. I mean, he's 57. He was 57.
Yeah. Checking in at
number two.
Prince back in 2006 did an interview with Tevis Smiley, and he talked about the Warner Brothers war, that it was then over, but what did it make him feel like during it?
Who have you felt most often like in the ring fighting the record industry, like Jack or the opponent?
Oh, like Jack.
Like Jack?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, because I knew I was right. It's obvious now that artists are supposed to own their master recordings. I mean, in the future, it'll be unconscionable to even think you can take somebody's creation and claim ownership of it. See, unfortunately, this discussion's going to start to barrel into a discussion about the human genome and the DNA and all the rest of it. When it gets there, then we're going to be in the deep water. Mm-hmm. See, so it's better to start the conversation now before we get into God talk.
That went somewhere I didn't expect.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're talking about the genome?
I know, the human genome. Well, that was the big thing in 2006. There was a discussion of that because the Human Genome Project had been completed at that point. So that's, you know, with all this genomic testing and all of that, genetic testing is what they used to call it, but it's now genomics, you know, that goes on.
That has something to do with ownership of music?
Yes, and you have to just think like Prince, okay. I think is what you have to learn.
Prince logic.
Right, and again,
And you have to be a genius in order to understand it, I think.
I think you basically do, yeah. That's why he was Prince.
That's why he was who he was.
Number one.
Now, believe it or not, Prince and Michael Jackson were supposed to do a duet of Bad.
Remember
the Michael Jackson song Bad?
Yeah, that would have been incredible.
That was originally intended as a duet. It fell apart. Why did the duet fall apart? Prince explains it to Chris Rock.
This is the story of you turning down Bad.
Well, you know, that Wesley Snipes character, that would have been me. All right, now you run that video in your mind. The first line of that song is, "Your butt is mine."
Your butt is mine.
Now, I said, who's going to sing that to whom? Because you sure ain't singing it to me. And I sure ain't singing it to you. So right there we got, you know, right there we got a problem.
Well.
Oh, God.
Oh, wouldn't you have loved to have seen it, though?
Yeah, that is something right there.
That is.
And you see, now there are Prince, totally normal. Totally normal right there. That was a guy talking to a guy right there.
Yeah, that just sound right. That was un-Prince-like in some ways.
Yeah.
But, wow.
Well, we are remembering the great Prince Nelson Rogers, dead at the age of 57.
The top five at five.